A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
This is Paul Hawksby.
And Andy Jacobs.
And this is the H&J Daily, some of the best bits of this afternoon's show. We had some good guests in, didn't we, this afternoon? We spoke to a guy we'd never met before. He's a Hollywood screenwriter called David Kep. He has written a new novel. He was also the writer of Jurassic Park and Mission Impossible and the Spider-Man movies. He's a big sports fan.
Yeah,
well.
He was a good
very
mate,
interesting
good man.
Guy.
And we had a chat about foot golf.
We did.
We've spoken about it before, but it's really growing as a sport. So
the head of UK foot golf came in and saw us.
Good.
Didn't he?
We had arbits. You did very unusually. You did a bit of, I wouldn't say a rant, reasoned.
Bit of a Spurs chat after last
but I thought
night.
It was good. Yeah.
I think it began viral this week. It's all a bit weird. This is not my role.
No, it's not. It's normally me, isn't it?
But anyway, you know, I'll take it.
It'll be me tomorrow. Yeah. After we lose to Grimsby.
And we talked a lot of nonsense as well. So here it all is. I don't quite know where to start, really. As I said, it is Tottenham's turn in the barrel, and it isn't a fantastic result. Well done to Colchester. It's a brilliant night for them. I can completely understand that. But as I said, I'm quite surprised at the amount of potch out, to see it trending so quickly. This guy's turned the club around in the last 5 years. To say he's taken it as far as he can, I find quite staggering. I'm not saying that things have not gone wrong this season, and that is definitely out. We'll come back to that in a minute. But I'm afraid I lay most of the blame at the board and the chairman's door, because the manager made it pretty clear. Quite a lot of things he said in the last 6 months made it pretty clear about the way he felt about the club. He said, we need a revolution, effectively, during the summer, which in Poch speak, lost in translation, is we need to turn over some players.
Is the word.
We need to churn. He was aware of that thing. You either change the managers or change the players after 4 years, the old adage. And he was very aware of that.
That's true.
But I don't, so he's got senior pros, important senior pros. Danny Rose didn't think he was going to be there, and the manager was prepared to let him go. Probably Vertonghen as well, Alderweireld, Eriksen, and Wanyama. So that's five big, important senior pros in a dressing room, knowing that the manager would have quite happily seen him move on, and they effectively would have gone given the chance. So that's pretty difficult to manage, I'd say. And you can look at some of the reasons why this hasn't happened. Also, one of the other things he said was, let's get players in quickly. Give me a chance. If I can get my players in quickly, I can get them into my way of playing. They can hit the ground running, and we have a chance of, starting to turn it on before the middle of September. The Lo Celso deal is a classic example. Everybody knew he was going to Tottenham. Even Bettis knew he was going to Tottenham. We all knew it. But the deal gets done on the last day. And the chairman would say, it's good business. I saved the club, possibly over the course of it, 20 million quid. But that 20 million quid doesn't look quite so good if you finish seventh and not fourth. Yeah. Because a player's taken until October, November, subsequently got injured, of course, that's different. So that's one thing the manager said. Give me a chance. Don't let me keep working with one hand tied behind my back, which I think he has done for most of the time. Seventh biggest wage bill Spurs have got. He's had three windows where he couldn't buy a player. And still people are saying the manager is the problem. The other deal, Wanyama.
People don't know.
But Wanyama is another example. A player who cost us 11 million quid from Southampton. You could say that was cheap. He wasn't wanted. God bless Victor. He's gone backwards. He got injured. He'll never be the same player again at Premier League level, in my eyes.
No, you're right.
So we asked 13 million for him. So he's another spare part hanging around. He's getting games. I almost wonder if the manager is doing that out of spite, to say to the chairman, here we are then. There's your 13 million pound player. I'm sure he's better than that. But I don't get it. I just look at those two deals and I say, how can you look at the manager and blame him for that when
I agree.
It's clearly a board thing, a board issue? The chairman, he cares for the club. He's proved that he loves the club. He's a Tottenham fan. He's done brilliantly with the ground. But for him, it's all about the art of the deal. It's all about the deal. And still, when you look at the balance between the way he runs the business and the football, I still think he gets it slightly wrong. This was a great opportunity. I think Pochettino knew this summer was the moment. They got to a Champions League final. They were building. They were constantly top four. They needed some churn. They needed some new players. They needed a statement signing like a Dybala, someone like that. I know that was a difficult deal to get over the line, but if you start trying to do it 24 hours before the deadline, everything's going to be difficult. But they didn't do it, did they? They ultimately
it's
didn't do it.
It's all about perception as well. If the players in the dressing room feel that the manager's being fully backed, then you know they can't start.
I think the manager, I think he won't admit it, but I think he's had enough. I think he looks at it and says, he probably sits there with his backroom team and says, what more can we do? What more can we deliver? We're working with one hand tied behind our back. What more can we do? And we're not getting completely backed by this board. So I think he's lost interest. I hate to feel like that. And I think the players are starting to realise it. Having said that, the results themselves, and you look at them, they could and should have beaten Leicester. They got the second goal they would have done. Yeah. Newcastle was the only standout terrible result. Mm. Draws at City and Arsenal, most teams would take. Olympiacos,
the trouble is they were 2-0 up at Arsenal. The game at City, they should have lost, really.
A point away in Europe might not end up being a bad thing. The actual results, I mean, as I said, I've watched Tottenham be abject for so many years, or bang average for so many years. And I can only think that people are saying, get rid of the manager and replace him with Mourinho. That's the one. Do you think Jose Mourinho would work with Daniel Levy? Jose Mourinho wants 100 million every May and January, doesn't he, to go and spend on players.
Yeah, basically.
Can you imagine him working under the restraints that Daniel Levy sets with you as a chairman, doing deals on the last day and not letting players go? If Jose wants a player out, he's not going to say, well, I'm sorry, he's not going anywhere unless we get 45 million for Victor Wanyama. So I'm at a loss to think that the manager is ultimately to blame. He's not getting everything right, but don't put the blame at his door, because I don't think he deserves it.
No, it's true. And talking of Mourinho and United, a very interesting quote with Ed Woodward yesterday. He was talking about backing
Ole Gunnar Solskjaer.
Yeah, you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Let's call him OGS.
Yeah.
And and he said, we'll continue to focus on the long-term strategy and we won't be influenced by short-term distractions. What, like winning football matches? Brilliant. I'm not sure about that either. They need a director of football, I think. I listened to the penalty shootout at Tottenham. It was, you know, obviously they went mad at Colchester. Don't blame them. That was very exciting.
Yeah, of course.
The other one was a damp squib, really. Pompey had a lot of chances, you know, half chances. They're well ahead on the corner count, but they just kept self-destructing, really. And Saints will be pleased that Redmond's back. That's definitely, he's been classed under Hasenhüttl. I did think Hasenhüttl was so wet. Hasenhüttl really did need his wetsuit, but they didn't have it.
He didn't
but
put it on.
But the worst sight of the night, and probably the worst sight of the end, it's such a sign of the times, was the, I'm sure you've seen it on social media, the Southampton fan who basically waited to celebrate the second goal until he'd got his phone out, got his camera going, was on here, and then started celebrating for the camera. You think, oh, forget it, mate, really. Honestly, you shouldn't even go to football.
Take his tickets away.
Honestly, what's the point of that? Yeah. Terrible, but there you go.
So tonight, Andy, Grimsby.
Well, there we are.
You're going?
In the barrel. Funnily enough, I'm not. Ah. Only because there have been four home games in a row. So I went last Tuesday, last Sunday, and there's a game on Saturday.
Yeah. Are they sensibly priced, the tickets tonight?
It's not really the price. It's just the commitment of going.
Yeah, I understand.
Four,
I completely
four times
understand
in about
it.
10 days. I'm not sure people will. And, you know, look, it's good that it's only 90 minutes now. It's better for the underdog. It's better for the... Because, you know, you've only got to hang on. Like Colchester knew last night, they only had to hang on till...
Blimey, they nearly scored at the end. They weren't just hanging on
at the very end, but they were for most of the game, let's be honest.
I mean, a lot of good players at the moment, whether they're being dragged down by other things, are not playing well. Dele Alli is, at the moment... I don't know what's wrong with him. He probably doesn't know what's wrong. It's not for want of trying. I look at him play. This is a man that is doing all the things he used to do in the past that came off, and now none of them are coming off. The little flicks, the little touches. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He runs into brick walls.
What's going on there.
Everything. He doesn't look like he's doing it any differently. It's just that none of it is working, and it must be as frustrating for him as it is watching him and for the management.
It's incredible. The change the subject, the famous athletes, the Black Power athletes, John Carlos and Tommy Smith.
Yeah, yeah.
They've been honoured by the Olympic Hall of Fame, which is great because you remember they were sort of basically stripped of their... I think they were ordered home, weren't they? And basically humiliated at the time. And but, of course, now it's appreciated what they did. But it reminded me of when we actually met the great... was it Tommy Smith, wasn't it? And,
it was.
And I said... Where's the glove?
No, we met. You got the wrong way. It was John Carlos.
John Carlos, was it?
Yeah.
Where's the glove?
You did ask him. You said, now, what happened to the glove? Yeah, that was... well, he did tell you, yeah. But it was after one of the most impassioned minutes of radio I think I'd ever heard from one man. And then you said, just one more question. There was no one more question. That's at the point we said, with a lump in our throat, John Carlos, thank you very much for joining us. But you said, where's the glove?
A tenth of pet dogs suffer from depression and anxiety.
Yeah.
I don't know if your dog was listening to Spurs last night as well.
Yeah, I think she probably was. Yeah, that's right. She did. Well, I didn't have any headphones and I was walking around with it playing over a little speaker.
That's not good for her.
She did seem very down this morning. Yeah. She wasn't licking herself in quite the same way.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Hawksby and Jacobs here on TalkSport. David Kep is a seasoned and experienced screenwriter in Hollywood. Jurassic Park, Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull, Mission Impossible, Jack Ryan, Shadow Recruit, to name but a few, War of the Worlds, Spider-Man, etc. He's just written his first novel and he loves his sport and he has popped in to see us. David, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Thanks for having me.
Should we say congratulations?
Yes.
Thank you, I'll accept.
Yeah.
It looks like a fine achievement.
It's interesting. So why now, after all the years of screenwriting, do you always feel you had a novel in you?
I felt like I did. I assumed it was a movie idea at first because they've always been movie ideas for, you know, 30 years. And but I started writing. I thought, well, I'll write a little about the characters and try some half-decent prose and see how it goes. And I almost immediately realized, this is fantastic. I can write what people are thinking and feeling with no... I'm not bound by the rules of movie writing anymore, which are you can only write what an audience sees or hears.
Yeah.
And in a book, you can go anywhere and do anything and digress. I could wander off into another subject. Not so long I tax everyone's patience, but I loved it. It was really blissful the time I was working on it.
It does feel cold storage. Well, let's first talk. Give us a kind of brief synopsis of what it's about.
It's a science fiction horror story. So if you know fans of maybe Michael Crichton, Stephen King might like this. And it's about a mutative fungus that starts in Australia in the 1980s and is contained for a period of time and then comes back. And so the story itself after that opening is condensed over 24 hours where the fungus has to be contained because it's something that mutates very quickly, invades a human host and quickly expands and explodes.
It's funny,
it's
though.
Scary, I mean, but gross.
We wouldn't think so from the description there. It's quite hard-hitting and dramatic, but there's a lot of humor in the book as well.
I like to be funny. you know, opinions are mixed on whether I'm successful at that or not. But it was also in a very tense situation and in a occasionally, frankly, slightly ridiculous situation or a heightened reality, it's easier to be funny because it lessens the tension. The problem is you don't want to be funny all the time or you have no tension left. So
I take it Cold Storage has been optioned as a movie? Or
it has. Yeah. We're with Paramount I've finished a couple drafts of the script. We're putting a director on now and hope to shoot next spring.
It's interesting. So you've written the script. I was just thinking, you mentioned the late, great Michael Crichton there, and you had kind of adapted. You'd worked from his books for a screenplay. I just wondered, would you ever let anybody loose on Cold Storage?
No, God, no. Some horrible hack screenwriter attacking
you. You must feel a responsibility, though, when you're kind of, you know, as a screenwriter, you're given the book. And of course, Michael Crichton wrote for the screen as well, didn't he?
He did. Yeah. And it's awkward. And I think in most cases, novelists and screenwriters shouldn't meet when they're working on the same project. And most novelists don't want to meet you. They don't want to hear what you're doing because you have a responsibility. You have to take into consideration if there are fans of the book, you want to preserve the tone, certain key moments, if there's beloved characters. But other than that, it's a whole different medium and you have to change it a lot. And the best adaptations are quite different without feeling like they're different at all. And that's hard to do. So it's usually the novelist and screenwriter meet once near the beginning, and if all's gone well, you know, happily at the premiere, and that, and in between, everything else goes through the director.
Do you like to be the guy that kicks off writing the first draft, or do you like to be the kind of Red Adair character that comes in when someone's had a parcel and it's not quite worked, and they call for David Kep, see if he can save this movie?
I always like the idea of being able to come in and be the doctor who saves things at the end, but it's not my thing. I like to have a good long go at something. Occasionally, I've come in where they say we need 2 weeks on such and such, but you come in and you do 2 weeks, and right around the time you really start to care, it's time for you to go. And I don't love that kind of work.
Okay. You were telling us in the break that you've been living here for 4 years,
yes,
and your son has fallen in love with cricket.
He has.
Good lad.
Yeah, we moved here when he was eight, Henry, and he immediately at school, you know, football's not his thing, but immediately he took to cricket, about which I know absolutely nothing. Mm. And so I've spent the last 4 years, taking him to Lord's on the weekends for classes and going to his matches, and my brain will not absorb the sport.
You understand like baseball. I'm saying
it's like baseball. It isn't baseball. There's a lot of running back and forth that I don't get. And
well,
it's
the same as running between the bases. You need to go with me. I'll equate it all.
If you took my hand and led me through it, I bet I could figure it out. But I embarrassed him terribly. I was at one of his first school matches. An enthusiastic dad. And he was at bat. And he hit it. And he just stood there. And I couldn't help myself. And I'm an American. Yeah. And I said, run. And immediately he and his coach both turned to me and shouted, no.
It could have been worse. He could have hit it for six and shouted, what a great home run.
Yeah, that's right. You expect him to run around the outside of the pitch. Have you written a sports movie, David? Have you ever had the opportunity?
I haven't. I almost did once or twice. I grew up in Wisconsin, mm-hmm. And so if you grow up there, you're a fan of the Green Bay Packers. So mm-hmm. It's something in the drinking water. And I'm a deep lifelong Green Bay Packer fan. I'm a shareholder. I bought shares for all my kids.
The club is structured, though, isn't it? The fans own the club.
Yes, exactly. It's the only major sports team I know of that has no owner, that is owned by, it's owned by the town. And there's actually something in their charter, which was drafted in 1919, that should the sports team ever be sold, the proceeds go to the local Veterans Hall.
Wow.
And now, and back when the team was worth $3,000, that was not much of a threat. But now, with an NFL franchise being worth $2 billion, the idea of $2 billion going to this tiny little town's Veterans Hall is unthinkable. So it's great. There isn't that personality there to hate when your team's doing poorly. We have only ourselves to blame. Mm. It's a kind of a unique
It's a special team, actually. It always has been historically in the NFL.
They are quite difficult. Yeah. Finally, they are quite difficult to pull off sports movies. And there's been some very good ones. Boxing seems to be a sport that manages to do it. I don't know.
And
there's been some good NFL.
There have been very good NFL movies. Yeah. The one I almost did was about Vince Lombardi, the famous coach of the Packers in the 60s. Hmm. And I came very close, and then I thought, if I do this movie and it sucks, because there is a chance on every one.
Yeah, sure.
I will have taken two things I really care about, movies and the Packers, and ruined them both. Don't think I should do that.
Well, David, it's been great to meet you. Cold Storage is available now. It's published by HarperCollins, and it's out in hardback. And you think, when will we see the movie? It could be a while.
It could be a while. These things, it takes a while. But I'd say if we start in the spring, probably a year and a half from now.
Did you cast it in your head as you wrote it? Is that inevitable or not?
I try very hard not to, because I try to let the characters be the characters for a while. So haven't cast yet.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices
down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Hawksby and Jacobs here on TalkSport. Andy, do you have anything for us this afternoon?
I was thinking last night, you know, we were talking yesterday about this conference where people wear badges to indicate how social you want to be. And you remember I said it was green if you want, anybody can come and talk to you. Yellow if it's wait for an approach. And red is, you know, don't come anywhere near me. I don't want to talk to anyone.
What was the, I didn't quite get, what was the nature of the conference? It wasn't the kind of the extrovert society, was it? What was the...
No, I can't remember exactly
what it was.
No, I'd have to look it up. But I did have a thing.
It's not very adventurous, is it? I mean, you could have a lifelong friend across the room and they see your badge, but they'd never come up and talk to you.
I know.
You could have your life partner across the room. Who knows? But just simply because you've decided in that moment, I don't want to talk to... I've got a badge coming
for you,
up to me.
I made one for you last night. It says, I'll talk to anybody and invite them back to the Queen's.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, Andy has got this thing. Often when we're in the Paddy Power box at Cheltenham, you know, drink is taken.
You're much more sociable than I am.
Yeah, we get chatting to people and, I'm quite a sociable bloke and I say, oh, we're going off here. If you fancy coming for a pint, they're generally nice people. At which point the producer and Andy, birds of a feather, go into their little curmudgeonly silo. They don't want any anybody with us. They don't really want me there, to be honest.
That's not true.
So that's what goes on. So
talking to the producer, another setback for Torquay last night. Oh, he wasn't happy this morning.
Oh, I know,
yes.
Was it Eastleigh, was it? Eastleigh, beaten by Eastleigh.
He put out a tweet last night saying he's already had enough of football this season.
Wow, okay.
What can you do? These things happen. What else have we got? Gary wrote to the Star.
Who's Gary?
He's a mate of mine, Gary.
It's not Gary Johnson.
A bloke called Gary. He wrote to the Daily Star about Formula One. Of course, can I find it now?
Okay.
I made a note of it.
Well, you've given Gary a name check now, and he'll probably know who he is.
I've given him a big plug here, and I can't find his letter. Okay. I didn't even stick it in. That'd be brilliant, wouldn't it?
Well, that was a great story, Andy. To really do. Thanks for bringing it to us.
I thought you'd enjoy that.
Have you heard about this fella, Baksan? Have you heard of him?
No.
He's a Japanese rugby super fan, Baksan.
The bloke who does the thing with the shirts.
Yeah. He is basically going to body paint every shirt on his chest throughout the World Cup. He's done the three matches so far. A bit of Argentina and Namibia and Japan, of course. Yeah. So, I take it he takes the first layer off. It's not like a young Kenny situation. It's a paint he can get off,
I'd like to think.
Otherwise, his coat...
He must get somebody else to do it. I've got a picture.
Oh, yeah,
of
you
him.
Can't. You
to be you a very do accurate stripes.
It's a very difficult thing to do yourself, wouldn't it? I would imagine.
Those would use up a lot of paint doing that Argentina one, wouldn't it? Now, what about this? I found it.
Oh, it's Gary. Great news for Gary.
Formula One racing is a joke now. Drivers. Sorry.
Gary didn't say that, did he? He can write better than that, surely.
Formula One racing is a joke. Yeah. Now, team drivers can't race each other. Because it's the way it's written.
Oh, no, it's not.
It is. They have to take team orders I will not be watching again. You think, have you only just noticed this? This has been going on for about, what, 10 years in
Easy.
Formula One? Easily.
Easily going on for 10
Fancy
years.
Suddenly now thinking, oh, yeah, I'm not watching it because of team orders. What about last year or the year before? I don't get it.
Well, there's Gary. He's had his moment in the sun.
Well, he's done well, hasn't he? Luke Prosser, who plays for Colchester.
Yeah, that's right. Tottenham fan.
Tottenham fan. Yeah. And his family are very, very close to Cliff Jones. I was thinking, not so close now.
Oh, Cliff would be all right. I'm sure he'd be.
Old Tottenham
fairly stoic
saying,
about
no,
it.
No, I don't know. I bet Graham Roberts isn't happy. He'll still be saying everything's fine.
No, he won't. Robbo was pretty critical,
was he?
Actually. Yeah,
That's very unusual.
Yeah, he was, I think, you know, he thinks, well, yeah, you take to social media and find out.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Paul Hawksby, Andy Jacobs here on TalkSport. Foot golf gets ever more popular. There's new courses springing up all the time. And there's many competitions as people get better at it, of course. We see some fantastic competitions springing up, including the kind of Ryder Cup equivalent. Here to tell us more about it, head of UK foot golf, Paul Oliver. Good afternoon, Paul.
Hi, fellas. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, pleasure.
So this kind of, have you been involved in putting this kind of structure in place then? To have these kind of, bit like this Ryder Cup equivalent, for example, that's just happened.
Yeah, I started with UK foot golf back in 2012, 2013. And a chap that introduced it in the UK, Mike O'Connor. And we quickly noticed that there was an opportunity to stage competitions. People obviously thought they were really, really good. So let's give them a platform to play. And turns out we are really quite good at it. So,
it's probably, I mean, there may be people out, I'd be surprised, but there may be some people out and think, what the heck is foot golf? So let's basically explain. I think the clue's in the name, isn't it?
Yeah, completely. It's kicking a football on a golf course into a big hole.
Yeah.
Exactly the same as golf. It runs parallel to the sport. Tees and greens. Fewest shots wins, basically.
And a lot of underused pitch and putts have become foot golf courses and are now doing quite well, aren't they?
Totally. I mean, when the game kind of came over to the UK sort of 6-7 years ago, it was that kind of golf course that was ideal for it. You know, now, as you've seen with some of the competitions that we stage, we're actually going into venues, creating a course for the competition and then filling it in, basically.
So are you using normal golf courses and then having to dig up the green to put a hole?
Not on the green, to the side of the green, the approach, behind, on the fairways, basically where there's something that's interesting for the foot golfer. Obviously, a flat fairway is fairly boring and not very interesting.
Yeah.
So, you know, behind a bunker, on a little bit of a slope, try and make it a little bit quirky and inventive.
Are there sort
with
of rules like you have to use your right foot, or you have to use your left foot, or is it, can you use anything or
right foot, left foot, outside of both?
What about footwear?
Headers? No, you can't do headers.
Well, that wouldn't be good. Low head, diving header.
Diving.
What
header.
About? I mean, footwear and restrictions and what normal.
Generally speaking, yeah. I mean, football boots is an absolute no-no. Obviously, we can't have football boots on a golf course. It would be terrible. You know, the captains and colonels would be an uproar about that. So generally speaking, it's indoor shoes or Astro shoes. So, you know, like a Mundial, Team Mundial, which is a shoe that's been around for a few years, that's fairly popular.
Does the old club secretary follow you around nervously when you're at places like Celtic Manor? Imagine there's little carts just watching you all the time, aren't they?
The most amazing thing about Celtic Manor is that they're probably the most refreshing to deal with.
Wow, okay.
You know, the green staff there, Jim McKenzie, Gary Connell, they've been absolutely fantastic. And kind of anything goes, which is brilliant, really, because, you know, for an event like what we staged a couple of weeks ago, it needed that. And what was created was, you know, it was a masterpiece in the foot golf world. And hopefully everybody enjoyed it. I know Team UK certainly enjoyed it.
What about TV coverage? It strikes me this would be a good game for TV.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, as foot golfers, we think it's more interesting than golf.
I don't know about that, but golfers. I think there's room for it, you know.
Yeah, totally. I mean, it's faster, you know. Yeah. Typically, a competitive round can be 2 or 3 hours, but, you know, we always used to play on words, you know, 18 holes is 90 minutes.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, it's a faster paced game than golf.
You've got to carry a big bag around with you.
Yeah, you have. I mean, people take rucksacks with a spare ball or a spare pair of shoes.
Pro-Am would be good. It strikes me that if you got some footballers, you know, some that's footballers involved
totally
as well, a Pro-Am would be great, I think.
I think that's the next step, especially for TV.
Yeah.
You know, because quite frankly, you know, there are foot golf superstars, but you know, at the end of the day, people really want to watch, you know, maybe former players or just players just out of playing.
Yeah.
You know, like your Scholes, your Keeves,
people
Beckham
like
that.
David Beckham would be good. Chip onto the green.
Yeah, you'd imagine Teddy would be good. Teddy, maybe not off the tee, but you'd bring Teddy in, wouldn't you? Just the kind of the
first
old Glenn.
10 yards of the putt.
Glenn, you think it's gone back 12 miles behind the hole and it backspins into the hole. So, yeah, there are some players that were made for it, aren't there?
Really? I was looking at your website here, ukgolf.com, and... I'm just amazed by the number of courses that you've played at where it's available. Even one here, I saw the first one, it says Stockwood Park. I thought it was first said it's Stockley Park. I thought, good, kick the ball through the window. Damage
for the
equipment.
Smash the VAR equipment, yeah.
But it's incredible. It's very impressive.
Yeah, it's grown. The first 2 or 3 years, it really went quite crazy. We kind of went from 30 to 40 courses up to over 200. Obviously, it's plateaued. It's natural that was going to happen. But, you know, there's still a lot of golf courses around the UK that are finding that actually foot golf is quite a good way of adding some extra coins to the P&L.
Who are the real stars then of world foot golf? Who are the kind of standout players?
I mean, well, luckily for us, the world number one, Ben Clark, he's an absolute, you know, he's a magician on the
and
course.
What's his background then? I mean,
his background is football.
Right.
Hardly plays golf and it tries playing golf now.
Or
he probably shouldn't.
Not a pro?
No, he was he's a goalkeeper.
Yeah.
Watford Academy, maybe. Mm-hmm. Sophie Brown is the female world champion.
Right, okay.
Young girl plays football from Kent. And, you know, we're European champions. We came second in the World Cup.
Tiger Feet is the American one. He's brilliant.
Tiger Feet, for goodness sake.
But yeah, there's a fellow here, and this is classic, really. Look,
what's
the
that?
He's wearing the full golf outfit.
Yeah.
But he's kicking a football. He's got the Argyle socks on.
Yeah, do people do that? Do people wear the golf wear?
I think it's really... We try and get that traditional feel. I think it's really important to give the game some kind of identity, some kind of characteristics, and we love the Argyle sock.
Yeah,
we wear golf shorts, you know, slightly different, maybe elasticated waist, a little bit more give in the leg, collared polo, and you know,
nice.
Quite a few players still wear a flat cap, although it's kind of gone out the window now.
Have you had any golfers try it, Paul? Have you seen some golfers give it a go?
I mean, my background is golf.
Oh, okay.
So I came into the whole of foot golf through golf, and I found the game fairly easy. Because obviously when a golfer looks at a green, they can read the line and slope and borrow and judge pace a lot easier than a footballer. But no, you know, as yet, I mean, I've seen it on social media. You know, Rory's had a go at kicking a ball around. But I think it's not actually as easy as it looks.
No. And also, if you go off the fairway in golf and you go through the trees, the ball will go through the trees and it'll either end up back on the fairway or in the rough, but you'll be able to recover. I'd imagine with this, if you hit the ball in the trees, it doesn't come out, does it?
Well, it pops. And the problem is with the game, I mean, the balls we use, we're using kind of Jabalanes and Teamgeist, which are now, because they're old footballs, they're expensive. You know, they're collector's items. So one of those pops and it's £200-300 out the window. So, but people, you know, foot golfers do have a collection of multiple footballs, which is quite crazy. So
it's great.
I said I'd ask for Max Rushton. Do you have caddies?
Yeah, there's caddies.
Ah,
yeah.
See?
Yeah, totally.
You thought you were being funny, Max. There are caddies. So what do they carry around? Footwear or, you know, different shoes?
Yeah,
or
spare ball, but sometimes it's just an extra opinion.
Just to say as Max said, what, should I go right foot here or left foot? What do you think?
Kind of
do they, somebody can read the course? So somebody, does the caddy walk the course beforehand?
If he's really keen.
This is great, isn't it?
I think it's brilliant.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Brilliant. So
you've got a big tournament coming up, haven't you? Quite soon.
Yeah, the European Championships, the team championships, they kick off tomorrow at Magnolia Park, which is near Bicester.
Yeah.
It's a 3-day event, practice tomorrow. It's 16 countries from around Europe, between 9 and 15 players. Champions League group stage, followed by the top two teams qualifying for the knockout stage. And it's titled Euro Foot Golf. It's the Euros in our world.
Mm-hmm. And can people come and watch? Listeners,
yeah, people can come and watch. I mean, look, you know, there's some of the best players in the world playing. You know, it's at Magnolia Park. It's up the M40.
Yeah, but a lot of tournaments throughout the year, don't you? Looking on the website. Then.
Yeah, there's basically the national tour is kind of the headline tour, and then off the back of that, we've got feeder tours regionally, the North Tour, the Central Tour, and the South Series. So there's something for everybody. You know, in Scotland we've got the Tartan Tour, and in Wales we've got the Dragon Tour. So no matter where someone is in the UK, there's always going to be something you know, for them to play in competitively. And quite frankly, the sport is so new that the best player in the world maybe hasn't even played the game yet. So,
yeah, that's,
you know,
probably true, actually.
Could be you guys. We don't know.
It won't be.
It won't be.
It's interesting. Magnolia Park, I'm just looking at it here now, there's a water hazard. It won't be like a Van der Velde. I should imagine if you get in the water, you can get in there and kick it out the
you
water.
You probably can, yeah, yeah.
The great thing about Magnolia is on the 18th hole, what we've kind of created in foot golf is there's an option to play a heaven or a hell tee position. So heaven is kind of fairly straightforward, kick the ball down the fairway. Hell is carried over 70 metres of water.
Okay.
So, it's something that golf doesn't do. Maybe it should, you know, have different tee options, different pin positions. But it's something that we've created with the sport. It's new, it's fresh. You know, we're trying to keep it exciting and innovative, really. Yeah.
Colin the Evertonian says, Roberto Carlos would be good off the tee, wouldn't he? I think he probably would be. Yeah, that's very true. So, there's an extensive list of courses, 9 and 18 hole, on ukfootgolf.com. If you've never played and you fancy giving it a try, there are a lot of courses up and down the country, so go and check it out. And Paul, lovely to see you. Thanks very much for coming in. We appreciate it. Continued success.
Thank you.
There's Paul Oliver, the head of UK Foot Golf.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Steve McArdle's been in touch from Bradford, and he's pointed out to Andy that James Hansen, who played and scored for Bradford City at the Bridge in that giant killing a few years back, now plays for Grimsby.
Yes. Well, you know what it's like. Lucky grounds, and you know, he fancy himself to score.
Good player. He's been a great servant to the game, isn't
he,
really?
He's
one of those sorts of players.
Yeah. No, I'm sure
they're doing his thing.
I mean, they're right. Funnily enough, they've got exactly the same points as Colchester, and they're in the same position as them.
Yeah.
So, you know, we saw last night, you know, there is a gap, but, you know, if you work hard and a bit of endeavour, and the Premier League team are a bit off, you've got a chance.
As we were saying earlier on, I feel a bit for Crawley. Because they've not had their moment in the sun today. No one's really talking about them, are they?
Maybe that was a good result.
Well, yeah, it was a very good result. To beat, you know, Stoke are going through it at the moment. Not great for Stoke, obviously, but well done to them. Let's take the heat off of Spurs.
True.
I was looking at sort of social media the other day, and everybody was saying lovely things about Halsey. And I thought, well, that's good. He's always fronting up on big issues of the day in terms of refereeing. Mm. And it's great to see him trending. But then I realised that Halsey is a singer.
Oh, right, not Mark Halsey.
No, not Mark Halsey. I thought, well, look, people are so VAR these days, he's actually trending. And then I saw, watch Halsey's stunning performance of Time After Time at the Emmys. I thought, blimey, Mark's doing well, he's doing the Emmys now. Fantastic.
I look forward to seeing him at the Brits.
Yeah, brilliant, yeah. Halsey's coming to Ireland for the first ever headline show in Ireland. I think he'll be great. He'll talk you through some of the matches he did over the years when Spurs beat Chelsea in the League Cup final. Mark had the whistle that day. My feud with Halsey was another headline. I thought, who could fall out with Mark? They just wouldn't, would they? Yeah. Halsey talks about her ever changing. That's when it gave it away.
Oh, yeah. Well,
when I seen it, I saw her. Yeah. So not who I thought it was, anyway.
No. Well,
one for the kids.
And this interests me. Tyson Fury, I don't know why this should be, but he had a very bad cut, as we all know, from the last fight.
Yeah.
And fortunately, it looks like it's been well stitched and it's going to heal well. But in the piece by Wally Downs Jr., funny, in the paper this morning in the Sun, it says, Mancunian Fury 31 must not exercise for 2 months while the cuts heal. I'm saying, what, you can't even do the exercise bike? I'm trying to think, what was the reason?
No exercise at all.
That's what it says here. I was trying to think, what would be the reason, especially in something that's healed? I mean,
I hope he doesn't take to the buffet again. I mean,
no,
he certainly he certainly can't spar, can he? I mean,
that's obvious.
The day after the fight, Spencer Oliver was here. He was about to go on with Jim, and I had a very interesting chat with him about it. And maybe we should get a cuts man on, because it did look a really nasty one, and Spencer immediately kind of felt chatting about it that there was going to be a delay to the Wilder fight, because it was such a naughty cut, wasn't it? So, but it stitches inside and out. But anyway, he's looking a lot better, and let's hope he's back soon.
Speeding down a ski slope can burn more than 2,000 calories a day, apparently.
Okay, well, Tyson Fury won't be doing that, clearly. Where'd you get that from?
I think I got that from the paper that you wanted me to get. Yes, it was in the Sun today. Speeding down a ski slope can burn more than 2,000 calories a day. Research found.
Good. Okay. Anything else?
Jennifer Lawrence, this is a strange story. Have you seen that she's worth about $104 million, apparently? Mm. And she's got a wedding gift list at Amazon.
Yeah.
And you think that's quite unusual.
It's all quite affordable, though, have you noticed?
Well, it is.
It's like sort normally of 20 famous, quid frying pans and
famous
stuff.
Famous people with a lot of money who get married normally say, don't give presents, just make a donation to the charity of my choice.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Not Amazon for get me a robot mop. Thanks.
So you're calling her out, are you?
Well, I am. Surely she can afford her own robot map. I don't
robot them. Map? What's mop. A robot map? I'd like a robot map.
I like both.
Fantastic. I thought, I don't know, there's something quite nice about it. That, you know, she's not asked for a sort of, you know, 600 grand this and two grand that, is she? She's just asked for some sort of basic. But I know what you mean. It does seem. I'd feel a bit odd turning up at Jennifer Lawrence's wedding with a robot map. And she's saying, I didn't even ask for that. I think you've misread it on Amazon. Hawksby and Jacobs here on TalkSport. We'll be chatting to.
I'm not invited, to be honest.
Yeah, you're struggling today, aren't you? And the word, no, the worms just aren't coming out properly, are they?
It's not that. I'm just not invited to her wedding.
Okay, well, it's, no, I can't see it. Especially not now. You've not called now her out on national radio, really.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
There we are. That was this afternoon's show. And Matt Ford, comedian, Forest fan, pops in and sees us tomorrow. And we'll be reflecting, won't we? Looking back, as
looking back.
Say, on the Carabao Cup shocks of the night, if there are any. Until then, thanks for downloading us.
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4 p.m. on TalkSport.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.